So last week we talked about messy Netflix shows. I have Netflix show that is wholesome and wonderful and beautiful.
I'm not interested.
Just kidding.
Welcome to the Holy Mess Podcast. I'm Becca.
And I'm Joy.
And if you think you're a mess, you are not alone. Each week we talk about the things of life through a lens of faith and find the hope in all of it.
This week we're going to talk about healthy and unhealthy coping mechanisms when life is crazy. Becca gets vulnerable about how her life looks different than she thought it would. And we're going to talk about why you should never trust a Facebook ad. But first, our messy moment of the week.
So mine is kind of just an all-consuming theme this week, and that is chaos. There are some times where I wonder if I am attracted to chaos or it's attracted to me. Sometimes it's hard to tell the difference. Because
I hope neither.
Well, you say that, but we once again have foster puppies. We've had them for a little over a week now.
I need to understand how this happened because things are a little hectic in your life already.
So we had been talking about wanting to do foster puppies again for a while now.
And I know it brings you joy.
Yeah, it absolutely does. Sweet little puppies that give you little kisses and they smell so good.
Sorry, that was scary.
It was a little scary. So we talked about, you know, once we're back from vacation, let's do it. So sure enough, we get back from vacation. The rescue we work with texted us, these two little itty bitty babies have been abandoned at a construction site and they needed a foster. So before they get adopted, they can have a place to stay. So we said yes, because Joey was in good health and things were fine. I mean, good health, relatively speaking. For him, he was good to help me with these puppies. Since then, he has gone downhill, as he does from time to time. He is just really hurting right now. We're just trying to figure out what the source of it is, if it's just usual Joey stuff or if it is more concerning. So it's just been a really crazy week because not only is he struggling, but now we have these two puppies who notoriously cannot hold their bladders like adult dogs or anything else. And so it's created a lot more chaos for me as I'm running around trying to make sure he doesn't have to do as much. Like, he's home with them right now. As soon as we're done recording, I'm going to go home to try to give him a break. My in-laws are coming this weekend, which I know that they're going to understand if I don't clean the house, but Joey can't help me clean the house. He's sick.
I'm a little concerned about the in-law part because if you've ever listened to the podcast before, you know Becca's husband's chronically ill. So you're a caregiver for one. Now you're a caregiver for three because you have two itty-bitty baby dogs. Then you can't help but really be a host. So you're about to be a caregiver for five people.
And my in-laws, God bless them, they are getting a hotel this weekend.
So that's great.
That is good. But they're still going to come by the house to hang out. And I know that they're going to be fine if things are gross. But like, I sat on our floor the other day and it's been really rainy. So it's muddy and they're just caked dirt everywhere.
And the dogs are walking
it's
all over.
It's nasty at my house right now. So all of this was building up. And I'm sharing all of this to get to my messy moment, which is the two ways that I'm coping this week.
Okay.
One is a healthy way and the other is a very deep-rooted shame within me.
Which do you want to start with?
I'll start with the healthy one. So I just happened to have my annual checkup with my family doctor. I actually see a nurse practitioner. I love nurse practitioners. I feel like they just take all the time in the world with you. They're fantastic. And so I guess when I'm on an antidepressant, anti-anxiety medication. Mm-hmm. And when you're on that, they always try to make sure that it's the right dose. So they do this quiz. And basically, I failed the quiz because I'm so stressed out. But it's okay because she's like, you know what we're going to do? Let's give you the option of upping your dose when you need it. So in times where you're stressed out, when Joey is sick, which he was when I went to see her, you can take an additional pill each day.
That will help you function.
Yes. And I know we talk about the importance of therapy all the time. I also want to say, look, I take both of those meds. There's a decent chance I'm going to take both of those meds for a long time. Mm-hmm. And it really helps me feel balanced out. It's just a tiny little bit that I need to feel normal.
Yeah.
I don't know that I feel normal, but to not have my heart beating out of my chest 24/7, let's say that.
The things that you face, even Becca said before we started the podcast, like, I'm trying to figure out if my husband needs to go to the ER. That would be something terrifying for most of us that would mark out like a whole year or mark out the spring, like the time that we almost had to send our spouse to the ER or they did go. For you, that's a regular week.
It is.
And so your fight or flight hormones are probably so crazy that you have to have something to manage them.
So that was the thing, is I'm so thankful that she is giving me an option that I can take more when needed. And again, this is all prescription-based. You don't just go take more pills when you need them. But
we are not doctors.
No, we are
not doctors.
This is not medical advice. But I was so thankful that I just happened to see her and that I happened to go during a stressful week because we could kind of talk through those things. Because I don't know what it is. Sometimes I forget about my life when I go to the doctor. They're like, oh, what's going on? I'm like, everything's fine. It's good. It's fine.
I'm glad you were honest. Also, my phone was not on silent. I'm just a hot mess. Sorry
about that.
I didn't
even hear it. You're good.
The text is from Way FM. How dare you interrupt us, guys? Our job.
And then the second way that I am coping, my deep-rooted shame. I am addicted to games of all kinds. I play a lot of video games. I play a lot of games on my phone. And there are some games where I just feel like they don't help you level up fast enough, and so they ask you to pay a little bit of money.
Oh no.
And sometimes when I'm in a moment of high stress, I'm like, sure, I will put a dollar on my little bubble cash account and keep
playing.
$1?
Girl, that's not bad. I was about to ask how much you
spent. Well, a dollar at a time adds up. I have spent $20 this week on a mobile game.
$20, shmoney dollars. Who cares?
It just makes me feel so silly because I feel like these are always the stories of like kids getting a hold of their parents' phone and spending money on games. I feel like only people... Like, only suckers fall for this, but
no.
I always fall for it.
You don't need to feel shame. You made a conscious decision to bubble up, and I'm pumped about it.
So that is how I'm coping. I have leveled up. It's been great.
Also, you need to know that Becca's one of the most competitive people I've ever met. So I think this is good. It's actually an avenue for you to take your competitiveness to a healthy channel to fake imaginary characters instead of keeping that angst up in your life.
And there is something just about... disassociating with some colorful bubbles popping. I'm like, oh, this calms me down. We're good now. We're good.
I literally said out loud to my husband last night, I just don't want to think or feel anything right now. And he was like, that's terrifying. I was like, no, that's called like healthy for a season. I just need like a quick break from everything. And that's what you're finding in games. I don't think you need to be ashamed of it. If you were like, I spent $120, I would stop the podcast. We have a combo.
Probably need an intervention,
like,
yeah.
But we're not there.
Okay,
we're not there.
Good to know.
Okay, my messy moment is actually from last week, but we're still processing it. And I'm not going to give all the details for various reasons, but there was an incident with my son at his daycare last week, and he is fine. There was no abuse that was present, but several protocols were not followed. They had to have a meeting with us and let us know, because without all the information, he could have been in danger because protocols were not followed. He ended up being fine. But I think, I'll just be honest with you, my husband and I went off the ledge emotionally after it all happened. We both were super upset that night. And I think it's because putting my child in daycare has been one of the hardest things I've had to do as a mom. I cried. We started in the fall of last year, and I cried so much and for so long that I would literally, I don't think I've ever told you this, Becca, I would record Instagram stories sometimes being like, I just need someone to tell me when you stop crying. And then I'd be like, that's really sad. And I would just delete it and be like, no one needs to see that. They're going to be concerned for me. Because it was most of the fall I would cry every day that I dropped him off because I hated doing it. He wants to be with me. I want to be with him. But I have this job that I need financially, and I also love it. And so I finally got comfortable this year, and then I felt like trust was broken. Because you trust that they will follow any and all protocol to a T to make sure your child is safe. And we just kind of got lucky that he ended up being safe. And the hardest part was probably going through the emotions. I'm grateful it happened quickly. Day one, we cried about it. Day two, I met with them. We were angry about it. And I was like, why didn't you do the things? I need numbers. I need to know what's going to happen. I mean, as mad as I get is probably how I was, which is most people still think it's nice.
My mad is still crying, to be honest.
Oh, is it?
When I'm like, I'm going to call up the cable company. I'm going to give them a piece of my mind. I'm like, please, you don't understand. I just really need the internet right now. Please, please.
And they're like, she's distraught. And you were like, I gave him a talking to.
Yes.
Yeah, that's totally me. And then by the third day, as my counselor would say, my brain was back on board and I was able to think logically about it. And I'm grateful because when I had conversations with the people involved, I prepared myself because I know that I tend to be too nice. And so I prepared myself with what I was going to say because my husband and I both talked about our faith has to inform even some of the hardest moments of our lives. And so we asked when the emotions were gone, we said, okay, God, what do you want us to do about this? And we feel like we are to extend grace. And obviously people have to be held to a standard. And so I kind of prepared this little thing and I said to the person involved, this can't happen again. We understand that. But I said, God has given me far too much grace in my life for me to start holding other people to some strange standard when they've made a mistake. And so obviously it would have been even harder if something bad had happened to my child, but it was just this process that we have been walking through. And I'm really grateful for my husband because he is so quick to give grace and mercy. But you obviously don't do that in an unhealthy manner. Yeah. There have to be boundaries.
Yes.
And so I tried to hold both. I tried to give grace and kindness, but also hold a boundary for my child. And what we don't know is if any of these people involved know Jesus, but they know we do because we made it really clear. And I'm always going to fight for the safety of my child, but I'm just grateful we're on the other side of it and kind of processing it.
And that's one of those things that I remember a sermon once was like, you don't have to forgive and forget. It's talking about those boundaries, right? That you can forgive someone and have peace in your heart and extend them grace, but also be like, okay, let's make sure this does not happen again. And sometimes that does mean removing yourself from a situation at times.
Yes.
But I love that you were able to move through that so quickly. I feel like that shows incredible growth. I feel like that's such a testament of your faith because there are so many times where you hear of a story and especially big injustices and you're like, man, no one would blame you if you gave them a piece of your mind. No one would blame you if you just roasted them on Facebook. No one would blame you, et cetera, et cetera.
Right.
But honestly, our faith calls us to something higher.
Mm-hmm.
Our faith calls us to rise above the I wouldn't blame you if.
Yes.
Right? But that's hard to do.
And you have to find that balance of it doesn't mean that everything's okay.
Yeah.
Everything is not okay. And we're still trying to figure out what it looks like moving forward for us and our relationship with the daycare. But I believe trust can be earned back in certain situations. And so we're trying to decide if this is one of those. But my baby's okay. I mean, he's totally sick right now, as he always is. But he's totally okay.
Oh, you guys have had just a tough spring.
Jesus, take it. Oh. But it's okay. You know, we're ultimately all right. And I'm grateful for that. So it's time for our therapy segment of the week.
Yes. Okay. So I had teased last week that my therapy segment was vulnerable. And this is what I love about therapy, because you will pick up tools that maybe help you in the moment and then help you a couple of years down the road. This is from a session a couple of years ago, but I recently had to revisit this concept. So to give some backstory, as you might know, if you've heard other episodes, my husband's chronically ill. Oh, we've talked about it this episode. How does it not? It's just, it's every part of my life. Sorry, I forget sometimes how much I need to recap. And obviously, you know, you saw from my week that things are chaotic. And when we got married, we had talked about, you know, when we hit 30, we will have the kids talk. We will start going toward that. And we really wanted to do foster care, adoption.
I remember you talking about that.
But he got sick at 24. And with how sick he is now, I cannot imagine kids in that equation. It's just not something that we're going to choose for our life.
Mm-hmm.
And that can be hard. Again, I was never the person that's like, I can't wait to be a mom, but I really thought by this point I would be.
Yes.
And there's something nurturing inside me that sometimes just really hurts. The first time this came up was Halloween, because I saw all the families dressed up and I saw like the little kids and the parents coordinated.
So cute.
Yeah. And I think that was the first time it hit me that that's not going to be us.
Mm.
And that's really hard to face sometimes. And then, you know, I'm able to work through it. And then most recently, I was watching This Is Us.
Oh, no.
And I don't know
Mistake
why.
Mistake number one.
I don't know why it triggered me, but just there's one family scene that, again, it hit me. I'm never going to have this.
Mm-hmm.
And so I had to revisit therapy from a couple years ago. The first time that this big feeling came up, and I brought it to my therapist, and her response was, have I ever told you about my pasture of unicorns?
What?
I know, right? Which I just like poured my heart out about crying over Halloween. How could you respond with this? But she went on to talk about how from a young age, there are myths that we believe and we cling to. We look out the window and we see our pasture of unicorns, all of these myths. And over time, you have to let those things go. And you have to understand that they're not real and they were never promised to you. And so one of my unicorns is this idea that I'm going to be a mom,
mm-hmm.
Or I'm going to be a mom in the way that I pictured being a mom. And basically, it was just a visual exercise to look out the window and be like, okay, this has never been promised to me. I am clinging to something that doesn't exist. I am spending time dwelling on something that isn't real. Mm-hmm. When there are other real things in my life. I am auntie to my friend's kids. I'm an aunt to my blood nieces and nephews that I adore seeing.
And she does a great job with them. You send all kinds of presents in the mail.
I get to pour into people in ways that I probably wouldn't be able to if I had kids of my own and were distracted by that. And those are real. Those are the real things in my life.
Yes.
That's what I need to focus on. I need to focus on the things that God has promised me.
Mm-hmm.
Peace. He's never promised me kids.
Yeah.
That's not a thing in my life that is a part of my life. It's not real. And sometimes I have to remind myself to let that unicorn go.
That's so powerful, Becca. And I think there's such peace in knowing that you can grieve the unicorn yeah. because you didn't know it was a unicorn.
Yeah.
You know, I think that that's the painful part of growing up. Like what you talked about is literally understanding that some of these things are not promised to
yeah.
us. As you grow, you're like, oh, just because that's what I imagined my career, life, family
yeah.
to look like doesn't mean it will. And I think that it's okay to grieve those things. But through the grieving, you're like, well, where do I go now? And that's where you are landing on. There is truth. There is grace for today. And I'm going to look at like, what have I been promised? That's powerful.
Yeah. And so, and I think this is also important too, because maybe you're in a really similar situation to me, especially with Mother's Day coming up in a couple weeks.
Oh, yes.
I have several friends who have recently miscarried. I have friends whose life and family doesn't look like what they had wanted it to look like. And it's okay to take a day to mourn. I even tell people, don't go to church on Mother's Day if it's going to be hurtful to
yeah.
you. Spend the morning in worship at home. Do your own thing. But it's okay to sit it out if it's a day that you just need to mourn. But
mm-hmm.
then remember that there are other permanent things in your life that are real and that are beautiful. And once you're done mourning, you can cling to those things.
Girl, that's so beautiful. I also saw in my email, there was a company that emailed and said, Mother's Day is coming. If this is a painful holiday for you, please email us back and we will exclude you from all of our Mother's
wow.
Day emails. And I was like, I've never bought anything from you, but I'm about to.
But again, it's just thinking of those things. And it is sad that the older you get, the more you understand those things. But it's just where I am. And I wanted to share that because I think that a lot of people can relate. I think all of us at some level have an element in our lives where we're like, this doesn't look how I wanted it to look. And you kind of have to work through those feelings as they come up.
Thank you for your vulnerability. Girl, that was so powerful.
Thank you.
So we are moving on to our bless and mess of the week. Do you want me to go first?
Sure, go for it.
Okay, my mess of the week actually is from Easter. Some people in Central Florida were actually swindled out of money. By the way, I'm going to go ahead and give you this warning that if you have a child listening in the car right now who's a huge fan of the Easter Bunny, you're going to want to skip this story. So as we continue, they gave money because they were told that eggs would be put with prizes in them in their front yard come Easter morning.
Which for a busy parent, I'm assuming that's a really tempting thing. Like, okay, I don't have time to put this together. It's great that a company is going to come in and do it for me.
I think that's why I'm so sad for these parents is because they were scammed. And anytime you can do a shortcut in your life as a busy person in general, you take it and you depend on people to like show up and
yeah.
clean your house once in a blue moon. Someone to show up and help with the eggs for a holiday. So these parents obviously needed it. And so you pay up front through like PayPal, Cash App, all these different things. Well, come Easter morning, there was nothing.
First, I just thought it was a mistake.
So I ran downstairs at like 5 this morning and looked out our front yard and there were no eggs. So I was devastated and I had no plan B.
Texts. And I called, you know, and my last message was, hey, you know, you're supposed to be there. And then we found out she had 6 Facebook pages. They noticed her Venmo account was gone all of a sudden.
How hurtful, you know, of a person you must be to do this to a bunch of kids.
Ugh. That's just heartbreaking to hear because it's true. Because, I mean, these kids are depending on it. And these, like you said, parents are depending on someone to help step in and fill in the gaps.
The kids are the one who really suffered. Yeah. And all these parents paid between $20 and $75 each to a woman named Sarah Honey, who published an advertisement on social media. So this is just a reminder for you and for me. I actually got had over Christmas with two different items. One, I paid for and it just like never came. My identity's probably stolen. I try not to think about it. But it was from a Facebook ad, and you trust a Facebook ad to be legitimate. They are not. And I also bought Kendra Scott jewelry for Christmas from a Facebook ad. That was not Kendra Scott jewelry.
It was fake.
Yes, it was fake, but at least something came as opposed to others where I gave my money and nothing came like this. So just a reminder to double check things, like make sure that the website seems legit. With this, I just, I feel devastated for these parents.
My mess of the week is a controversial video that's been going around. I'm curious if you've seen the video of the plane worship session.
No.
Do you know what I'm talking about?
I don't.
Okay. So this video went viral over Easter weekend, unfortunately. And it was a guy playing guitar and some women singing with him in the aisle of a plane. And the video like pans over and shows the entire plane as they're just trying to lead some worship. So they're singing Chris Tomlin, How Great Is Our God. And the reason that this is so controversial is because some people are like, this is beautiful, this is wonderful. But as you watch the video, the first time I saw it, I kind of got a weird feeling in my gut. Because you notice that there are a lot of people on the plane who, by their faces, do not seem very into this. And this is where I just... There is a fine line between boldly sharing your faith, which I do think we're supposed to do, and disturbing someone's international flight, which is what was happening. And I don't know where that line. I don't know where that line is. But even as someone who loves Jesus, there is a part of me that if someone got up on a plane and started trying to lead worship, I would probably just put in my AirPods and be like, "I just want to take a nap. Please stop."
Oh my word! If it's an international flight, I would have popped a melatonin and been like, probably a little bit tired and belligerent. And like, quiet! I love him too!
Do you remember, speaking of international flights, do you remember that one time we got stranded on an international flight?
Jesus, take the wheel, yes.
We were coming back from Ghana. And there's some
That's in West Africa. That's how far away it was.
There's some bad weather in the States, so we all got rerouted. And somehow, Joy, myself, and one other woman were the only ones stranded in Minneapolis at the end of the day.
You don't remember why? It's because we were not, like, we didn't have kids, and you were married at the time, weren't you?
Yeah.
Me and the other girl were not married, we had no kids, and Becca was married with no kid, and they were like, well, the rest of us have full families to get back to. And we were like, how dare
yes,
you? They were like, y'all can wait. We got, like, animals, babies waiting on us. It was so sad.
It was so sad, but
I tried to be an infant in arms. I said I was too
right. We were like, can we volunteer to be an infant in arms? Please just get us home. So that's a total side rabbit trail. But when you said belligerent on an international flight, that's what I think of. Because that was just such a mess.
We'd been flying for days already. Days. Well, imagine that.
And so they put us up in a hotel. We finally made it to Atlanta. That's as close as we got. It was like 1 a.m. We didn't have our bags.
Do you remember that the girl who was with us, her bags were literally lost. And it was so good because if it was Becca or me, we would have probably started like flipping out emotionally, and she was like, whatever, let's go to the hotel. And I was like, thank God it's you.
So go to the hotel at 1 a.m. I didn't have any of my stuff. Because one of our bags went home. I don't remember.
I packed some extra underoos in my backpack, thank God.
That's what
now
it was.
I
yeah.
always do, once and you've needed them.
Then we get to the airport the next day to finally go home, and I remember going through security and looking at my phone and seeing that our flight had been delayed. And just, I think that was my breaking point. And Joy's like, let's just go to Chili's and just sit for a little bit.
I said, let's get some apps, girl. Maybe, could like a cheese dip fix this? And you were like, no.
So all that to say, international travel can bring out some stress. And I just don't know that I would have appreciated a worship a concert in that moment.
You should always worship Jesus, but you shouldn't force others to.
That is fair. That's a fair statement, yes. What about your bless?
Okay, do you know who Brené Brown is?
I do.
She has been famous for her TED Talk, where she talks about vulnerability and shame.
She does one on empathy that I absolutely love, too, if you want to look it up later. I think she does.
She was on the Ellen Show recently, and I was captivated. And I loved where she talked about what true connection is. And she said when we cheer each other on, that creates true connection. And she said the way she explained it to her third grader helped her figure out what kind of friends to have.
And so we used to say, listen, hold your hands like that. So put your hands in a cup. And we used to say, Ellen, because my daughter's name is Ellen, inside here is a little flame, and that's you, that's your essence, that's your spirit. And what you're looking for as a friend, when things get really windy and dangerous, they kind of put their hands over yours and they say, let's keep that thing from blowing out. What we don't want are flame blower outers. The friend where you go, guess what, I got the part in the play. And your friend goes, oh, it's a really dumb play. Hey, guess what, I made safety patrol. What a nerd. We want the friends who keep the flame going. No flame blower outers.
That's a really beautiful way to put it. And I was just thinking, Joy, because I mean, we were talking about our mess before the podcast. Obviously, we led the podcast, but I do feel like you are a friend who puts your hands over the flame for me.
Thank you.
And you say, hey, this is rough and I love you and I support you. And I just really appreciate that.
Thank you. Because that's
such a beautiful way to look at it. Because I have encountered a lot of flame blower outers.
Yeah. And I think I analyzed it because I have some friends even now who have had moments of being flame blower outers. And I was like, should they still be in my life? But when I thought about it, there was probably a specific reason why they have done that before, but they don't consistently do it. So I'm like, okay, if something that you bring up triggers something in them and they blow on your flame one time, you make a decision, but I've decided to extend grace. And then the majority of the time, they keep my flame going. So I can't wait to explain it to my kid that way.
Yeah.
Because that's true connection. That's what we need to be looking for in each other. And that's why I love Becca doing this podcast with her, because she's great too.
My bless. So last week we talked about messy Netflix shows. I have Netflix show that is wholesome and wonderful and beautiful.
I'm not interested.
Just kidding.
No, it is... It is captivating. It is called Old Enough. Have you seen anything about this?
Oh, yes, but I didn't click on it.
Okay, so it is actually a long-running Japanese television program that they just put a season of it on Netflix. So this has been going on since like 1990, this show.
Whoa.
And the premise of it is it's showing kids as young as like 2.5 running their first errands.
By themselves, right?
And it is subtitled, so if that's a deal breaker for you, just give you that warning. I don't usually like to read my television, but it was so cute that I couldn't stop watching. So, for example, the first episode is he's 2 years old and 9 months, so
no,
pretty young.
My child's almost 2. I can't even fathom.
And his chore is to go to the store, which is a half mile away. He has to walk next to a busy interstate. His mom has given him a little traffic sign that says stop on it so that like he can get across the street when he needs to.
So people are watching him to make sure he's safe.
The camera crew is. But he goes to the store and he has to remember 3 items. And so it shows like how good they do. And he remembered all 3 and it was so precious and he made it back home. And then episode 2 was this kid who had to, he was working in his grandpa's orchard. His orchard. He's working in his orchard. It's been a week, guys. I don't know.
For real.
And he had to go home and make juice, but he got really distracted and he's like playing with all his toys. He's chasing the dog around with a water gun. And his mom calls and is like, where's the juice? He's like, it's almost done. And he hasn't started on it. It is so cute. Each episode is only 10 to 20 minutes long.
Oh my goodness. I want to watch it, but now I'm a little scared because I get so nervous for my own kid's safety and him trying to do things that he's too little to do that I think I'll be nervous the whole time. But knowing they don't let the kids get hurt helps. But also kids' attention spans are like 2 minutes.
It's
so
adorable.
I don't know how they're supposed to do it.
And the camera crew is looking out for him. There's one little girl that spent way too long trying to pick a cabbage. And so they turned on the headlights for her as she headed back home because it had gotten dark out. So they're not like, okay, children, survive on your own. But it's really cute to see how their brains work. Like, the one kid got distracted by a stick in the street. You know,
of course.
Kids do. And it's just, it's a really sweet way to just maybe end your day on a wholesome note when it comes to your Netflix viewing.
That's exactly what we need right now, Becca, to watch a kid go to the grocery store instead of us. Thanks so much for listening. If you got something out of this episode, would you consider sharing it with a friend and leaving us a review? If you have anything you'd like to share with us, email us holymess@wayfm.com. And that is spelled holy, H-O-L-Y, not like that holy swish cheese. Thanks so much for being a part of our messy family.